Hello everybody, this is the translation of Guy de Labre's message for Sunday the 21st of November. The reading is taken from Mark chapter 12 verses 28 to 34a. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Today, I hear this word from Jesus to this pious man: "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Wouldn't that be a word that concerns us, me, too? So far, I have heard about God. I have made choices that take into account my spiritual heritage, whether it comes from my family or my culture. I have sometimes enriched this heritage with decisive personal experiences. I may also have eliminated elements of this heritage by replacing them with others, more reliable and more real for my taste, or else due to disappointment, without, however, finding how to fill the void left by these eliminations. So I am like this man who seems to need to be reassured, he, a master of the law, still seeking what could give him real satisfaction, or, as Matthew suggests, to set a trap for Jesus. But here, Mark leaves no room for suspicion. That's how I want to receive this story. I have surely acquired certainties, and I can confess my faith without reservation. But I am aware that I still have a lot to learn, because I am only at the door of the kingdom of God. The door is open to me because, like the master of the law, I know. But my knowledge may still be far from the expected practice. For several months, like the master of the law on that which is essential, I have been led to reflect on my vision of the church in general and in particular, that which I believed, that which I was expecting, but now what I must believe, what I must look for. And this is why it seemed to me, and it still seems to me, necessary that each one should question himself on how he perceives the church, on that which constitutes the very essence of the church, and therefore on what constitutes it, on those of whom it is composed, but also, and certainly above all, on what is in the heart of God, how he perceives it, what he, God, expects from her. And that is why Jesus' remark to the lawyer, this remark that I appropriate myself, I also submit to you: you are not far from the kingdom of God. How do you receive this word? I want to believe that you know a lot. But what is the first, most essential? And what about the reality, your reality? Wouldn't you even have reduced what you know to a more secure degree for your liking? And in fact, can you hear that there is still a long way to go? You are not far from the kingdom of God. But have the courage to let yourself be retaken by this word. It is ultimately about your salvation. It is immediately about the kind of behaviour that God expects from you, from everyone. So today I hear, and I suggest you hear with me, this sentence: you are not far from the kingdom of God. 2 weeks ago, the worship took into account the church in the midst of persecution. In this kind of situation, it is not uncommon to hear the testimony of Christians who speak of love for their enemies. And me, what would I do in their place? So I dare to take the risk of asking myself what kind of love dwells in my heart. Love for my neighbour, and going further, love for an enemy. I dare to take this risk because I am afraid of being in the same condition as the man who came to Jesus. He asks for confirmation to know if he has taken the wrong path. He seems reassured, but he hears the words, "You have not yet arrived at the goal." My human nature prompts me not to love an enemy, to narrow the circle of people in which it seems possible to me to love, and therefore to reduce God's plan of salvation. My gaze on my neighbour, as defined by Jesus, pushes me to wonder about the limits I impose on myself. Why these limits? And on the path that Jesus invites me to take. Otherwise I may not be far from the kingdom of God, but to stop there and not to enter it. And this is the way that I hear the testimonies of those Christians struggling with persecution. They appropriate Jesus' correction regarding the reading of the law. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus in fact cited what his contemporaries had included in their worship tradition. "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbour and hate your enemy.' But he corrected by saying, 'But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven.'" Yes, Christians struggling with persecution appropriate this corrected word. They understood that the love in question, agape in Greek, is not necessarily related to our feelings. It is not aligned with our natural inclinations. It is not directed towards those with whom we have affinities. He seeks the good of all, according to Romans chapter 15, verse 2. Each of us should please our neighbours for their good, to build them up. They understood that the initiative does not come from the other, from the one who would have done evil and who would ask forgiveness. No, they understood that the initiative must come from themselves, because Jesus uses verbs of action: bless, lend, do good, pray. They understood that these looks and gestures that apply to our initiative are in the same line as those that God had towards us. Because before our conversion, we were his enemies. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Gladys in Kenya. Here is her story. Benjamin, Gladys's husband, died, murdered and burned by the people he offered to pray for. It was horrible. I did not know what to do. I could no longer speak, no longer think, she said. Confronted with her own pain, she also had to deal with the grief and anger of her children. 2 days after the death of her husband, "Here is the prayer," she said. "Lord, grant me to have quick forgiveness and to be able to move on. Not to dwell on this pain, this anger." God answered her, and since then she has been at peace and can say, "The glorious lesson I have learned is that since Jesus was persecuted, so will we be. And when we are, it's not because God hates us, it's because he loves us." Here's another story of Vipur, an Indian pastor. On his way home, he was attacked by a man armed with a machete. Vipur managed to escape after receiving 5 blows from the machete. He was extremely weakened from the loss of blood. His family took him to the local hospital, which was not equipped to treat his deep wounds. It took 3 months for Vipur to return home. He walks with difficulty. He has lost all feeling in his face. He is deaf in one ear and he cannot stand the light. He is obliged to wear dark glasses. Around him, they urge him to take revenge. Here is his response. "It's not easy to forgive the man who almost killed you. Every time I see him, I feel like an explosion in my chest. This is how angry I am. But I know that I must listen to the Lord and be able to forgive. My passion for the Lord and my desire to see other people meet God has only increased." And this is how I receive a remark from Pastor Antoine Nui. contained in the booklet used for Bible studies. By my nature, I am tempted to always deny the uniqueness of my neighbour, to reduce him to being only what I would like him to be. It would be so much easier if my neighbour could fit into the mould I prepared for him. In this attitude, I transform him into an object. I objectify him. I forbid him to be what he is. I remember a fellow pastor saying about church members, "Take people as they are. There are no others." When the Bible asks me to love my neighbour, it does not ask me to love an idealised image, but a being of flesh and blood with its desires and its contradictions, its beauty and its obscurities. And this is how I hear the words of Christ which disturb me at first sight, but which necessarily disturb me in order to lead me not only to my salvation, but also to that of those with whom I am or to whom I am sent. So today I invite you to hear again this word from Christ to the Master of the Law. You are not far from the kingdom of God. And to examine what this requires of me, for sooner or later to be able to enter his kingdom. For as Christ says in another place, "For I tell you, that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Matthew 5, verse 20. Or again, it is not enough to say, "Lord," to enter the kingdom of God, but to do the will of God. What is God's will for you today, if only within our or your own community? Amen.